You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'm a radioactive.
Radioactive.
So bad. You said you needed...
And I'm not your captive.
You said you needed a vacation from your vacation.
No, I need a weekend from your weekend.
Woo!
Man, that was a big one.
It was.
Welcome back, everybody. Everybody have a good time?
Yeah.
I don't even remember half the weekend. There was so much shoved into that weekend. And the Chiefs had a bye week, and I think that's part of the reason.
So did
we all don't know what to do with ourselves when the Chiefs aren't on. So you just start looking for creative ways and amazing ways to fill the time.
So we went to Lansing on Friday night.
How was your coach's ceremony?
So it was the 35th anniversary of us winning the Call Valley League Championship, the first championship the school ever won.
Wow.
And so we got a bunch of players back, some from that team. But we made it clear, it didn't matter if you were on that team or not. If you played for coach, you were welcome.
Aww.
And so we had about 30, 35 kids down on... Oh, I have kids.
yes. Reliving the glory days.
We weren't kids anymore.
A lot of arthritis among those kids.
So we're walking down to the field for halftime. It was really sweet. And I looked over at coach at one point. I said, you know, as the current team is warming up during the halftime. And I said, coach, I think we got one more left in us. And he looks at me and goes, we don't have anything left in us. And so I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, let's head out. And this is what I said. I said, just enjoy the moment. Because this is not his thing, being recognized. And
he even said, what? Why? Yeah. Why do we? Yeah.
And I said, this is for you. Just enjoy the moment. And he said, I'm going to.
Oh.
So
saw some pictures.
It was really sweet. It was it was nice. We had a good time.
I have decided that I am leaving civilization and I am going to move to a farm.
Sorry?
Because one of my friends who used to live in Leawood, she was a neighbor of mine, moved a little south and they had like a couple of acres and they really liked it more than they thought. And then they found some property in Belton Scott.
You're going to move to a farm.
Yeah.
They
found some property in Belton.
Thread.
And they opened this amazing space, this peaceful, lovely, tranquil. There were deer just walking by. There are turkeys in the trees. She has a beehive with European bees in it. That means they're from Europe. Because apparently the American bees do not like what's going on in America right now. It is the most peaceful I have ever been. And one of the reasons she wanted us to come out is because she has chickens. Okay. Well, she has goats too, but she has chickens. And this chicken was born with the craziest, most hilarious demeanor and like a shock of crazy hair on top of her head.
It's got like a crown.
Like a crown, but it is it is something. And my friend Heather named the chicken Chicken Dana. And Carrie has been out to this property and she goes, you have to come out. It is so peaceful. But you have to meet Chicken Dana. So listen to this real quick.
All right, who is this? This is Chicken Dana.
I had a chicken named after me. Oh, God. Oh, God. Can I hold her?
Why is this Chicken Dana?
Because it's crazy. It's got Chicken Dana hair.
Hi,
an
chicken
attitude.
Dana.
Chicken Dana.
And sass.
Did she do this?
Yes.
I love Chicken Dana. Oh, my God. I love Chicken Dana.
And see her
and you could just like, oh, yeah, she's so soft.
Okay, so she starts telling me about a chicken's ears.
Okay, I saw the picture. I thought the chicken was fake.
No. Two things to tell you about that chicken. Chickens can be mellow when you want them to be mellow. Huh. Their ears will show you the color of the eggs they will lay. So she has, Chicken Dana has white ears. She was showing us. Then she lays white eggs. If their ears are brown, you get brown eggs. If they're speckled, you get speckled eggs. I learned so much about fawn and flora over the weekend that it was just this peaceful, I think in a former life I was a farmer or farmer's wife, maybe, I don't know, but I really loved being out in this peaceful space. Huh. No light noise, no traffic noise, just quiet, except every once in a while you'd hear the chickens or the goats would go, meh. And I loved it. I loved every single thing about it. And now I understand why people have chickens. Here's the other thing I learned. If you take a chicken and you this is how she held it, Scott. She held it under her arm like a football, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With its head facing backward. And when you do that with a chicken, it raises its butt up into the air. And they're basically catatonic at that point. She's holding it like this, and the chickens get very excited when you hold them backward, butt up, okay? That is where the term "what's up, chicken butt" came from. Swear.
Do you know that there's a lot of work to be done on a farm, big or small, and there's also a lot of excrement?
Right.
A lot of cleaning.
You mean poop?
I don't know that I'd want to get up at 4 in the morning and deal with all that, but I would
you don't want to live on a farm.
Live in a very tranquil space like that, where I pet chickens when I want. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. Did you know that's where "what's up, chicken butt" came from?
No, because I don't think I've ever heard that phrase.
What's up, chicken butt?
No.
Dan?
I've heard the phrase. Googling.
Q, come on.
Yeah, I have used the phrase.
Yeah, that is what it means. When you hold a chicken like a football under your arm.
Did you eat there, or did you just hold chickens?
You can DoorDash. It's like an event space. You can DoorDash food in. You can bring wine. There's a bar. I mean, it's just this lovely outdoor.
And now you're moving to the country.
Well, I asked her if I could just come and hang out for, you know, and sleep in their little Amish tent. They have a little Amish built lovely tent. Yeah.
Lovely. That sounds great.
Oh, I'm telling you, my blood pressure just went. No.
And where is this located?
Belton.
Okay.
It's always nice to get away from the city and the noise and the clocks and the schedules and just go out to the country.
You looked very happy.
The only reason I took my phone was because I knew I would want photos of Chicken Dana. Outside of that, I put the phone down.
Okay. So was that like choose your own dinner?
Well, they are, you know, I asked, they are hens that lay eggs.
Oh, okay.
And they are pets.
Is Chicken Dana still with us?
Chicken Dana is still with us.
You didn't digest her?
There were four or five different kinds, and there's a little chicken coop, and they just bring you an egg every single day. It's like a new present every single day. It was just the loveliest thing.
They bring it to you?
Yeah. Huh. They're very proud of those eggs.
The chickens bring you the eggs.
Well, they're in this little area in the coop. It's a very bougie farm.
Did you get, I saw from the pictures. did you take an egg from Chicken Dana?
I didn't.
Oh.
But I've heard that farm fresh eggs are the very best eggs.
Oh, they're excellent.
Have you never had one?
It's been a while.
Oh, they're better than what you get in the store.
And you don't refrigerate them. They're just like in her kitchen.
To.
They were just out on the table. So anyway, I understand now if you have chickens and you raise chickens, I loved being around them.
You know, I think you can have a certain number of chickens in Johnson County.
No, it depends on the city.
City by city, I think.
So in Roland Park, you can have up to 6.
Okay.
In Mission Hills, you can have 0.
Right. Prairie Village, I am pretty sure they passed the ordinance. You could have a couple chickens.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Overland Park recently passed an ordinance that you could have 6 chickens. My buddy Joe Noyes, may God bless him always, he had chickens in his backyard. And he would have fresh eggs.
So at some point, we're going to have her on the show, and here's why. Not only was the education just fascinating about the chickens, and they're going to bring school groups in to talk about all this stuff, but she has a beehive. And I could have stared at that thing.
Now, these are European bees.
Yes, they're European, and there's a reason for that, which she would explain. But just watching them, and there can only be one queen, and then you can split the hive and donate the bees somewhere else.
If you split the hive, how do they get a new queen?
I think if the queen has a queen, she was trying to explain that, you can split the hive. But when the time comes, Scott, for like the honey to be harvested and all of those things, we'll have her on the program because was fascinating.
Love honey.
And I said, how did you learn all of this? And she said, like anything else, you start doing it, you start reading about it, start figuring it out. And it was this beautiful wooden little hive in the woods.
Beekeeping is awesome.
But Dan, here's where I'm at. This is a woman who is now getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
who's making breakfast,
mm-hmm. yeah.
who's going on walks, not for the beauty, but for the exercise.
Astonishing.
Okay, follow me here. Who now wants to move out to the country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who she is anymore.
It's the reawakening of Dana.
That includes bees and chickens. Probably not goats. The goats made me laugh.
I'm just shocked.
Now, mm-hmm. the goats have names like dinner, FYI.
I beg your pardon?
The goats are named after dinner things. I'm pretty sure the goats aren't pets. They're, you mm-hmm. know. Yep.
Yeah, you can get milk like from goats.
Pork and chop?
Meat yeah.
from goats.
Yeah.
Goat is like, tasty.
I know. Remember when I was a child and we had a bunch of rabbits, and then I go down one day and there's fewer rabbits, and then, quote, right. we have crazy cut chicken for dinner? Remember that little ruse?
Is this a rude?
They eat the goats?
I believe so. Yeah.
913-586-7798. Quentin Morris, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here from CNN. Bath and Body Works has stopped selling a candle. Did you see this? That was emblazoned with a winter theme that many commenters online compared to a KKK hood. The candle's label called Snowed In. Have you seen this?
How bad is it?
It's bad. Let me. Bath and Body Works. It looks like a KKK hood.
Does no one test this stuff?
There it is right there.
Oh, my. Okay, wait a minute. Oh. That looks like five members in a row going out recruiting in KKK
it's
hoods.
It's supposed to look like a snowflake.
With the eyes cut out.
But it looks like five KKK hoods right by each other.
How much were they selling it for? $14.88?
Wow. No, $18.61.
I will say this. Remember the snowflakes we would cut out as children out of paper in elementary school? And you would fold them and make a little design and then open
right.
it up.
Right.
I do see that that's the look they were trying for. If you look at all of the candle all the way down, the problem is with the two holes in
it each looks like a hood.
White point, it looks very unfortunate. God.
The candle has since been pulled from the Bath and Body Works website and all of its retail locations, with the company telling CNN in a statement its design was, quote, unintentional. As soon as I saw it on the news this morning, I thought, oh, my God, that looks like KKK hoods. Nobody caught this. Nobody caught it.
I can see how somebody might not catch that. People that work in certain fields and certain places being disconnected from the real world.
commenters on Reddit are calling it the Clandle.
Wow. Wow.
By the way, because it is now a collector's item.
Yeah, people are trying to sell this on eBay.
For $350.
Give me a break. You know, every once in a while, there's something in the news where there's a logo or something, and we'll say, like, did no one catch this? And there have been products in the past where I'm like, I can see now that people are making a deal of this where you could maybe see that in the design. This is one of those where the minute you look at it, that's what it looks like.
That was the first thing I thought of when I saw it on the news this morning, was that looks like a KKK hood. There's no other way to see it. Country singer Brantley Gilbert. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
His wife is on tour with him. She is was pregnant. In the middle of his show on Saturday night.
There was like an emergency. They said, we need you to stop performing right now. There is an emergency.
He was in Tupelo, Mississippi. He gets a text and it says, emergency, baby is coming now. He leaves the stage, goes backstage, gets on the tour bus. His wife gives birth on the tour bus mid-show.
So in the video, you can hear him calling his mother to say, hey, you have a new grandbaby. And then he says, I got to go. I have a concert to finish. I'll call you back. So he's 39 years old. He helps his wife deliver, comes back to the stage, and announces to the crowd, we got a baby.
So people in the crowd are like, wow, that's a really long drum break.
Right. Can I say what everybody's probably thinking? You knew she would be giving birth roughly around this time. Why not reschedule your dates?
Or maybe he was not as popular prior, and then his popularity grew, things start picking up, and like, look, we've got to book these, and well, you'll be in your eighth month. I'm sure it'll be fine, kind of thing.
Right. Hmm.
That's a grind. You know that, Scott.
Let's go to Mike in Prairie Village. Mike, what's up, man?
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Hey, I appreciate you taking this call so late. I know you've moved on from chickens. I'm an 81-year-old grandpa, and we live with our daughter in Olathe, and she's got about 150 chickens, and she sells chicken eggs and chickens all over the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
At Jonesberry Farm. And what happens is they take the eggs, when they find a rooster, they cuddle that rooster, and my daughter and her two kids, our grandkids, will cuddle that rooster until it's up time to go out and mate. And that rooster will be so tame, it'll never peck anybody. You can pick it up, it won't try to scratch you, it won't, nothing. So they sell tame roosters.
They sell tame roosters.
Yeah, they do it. They've been doing it for years. And my daughter is actually leaving tomorrow for her fifth brain surgery from my service in Vietnam. All the kids have birth defects, but
hearing.
So her hearing is really bad. But,
are roosters by definition aggressive?
Aggressive.
Are they what again?
Are they aggressive?
Yeah, they're typically aggressive. If you don't do anything with a rooster and you take it from the egg, it's going to attack you. If you go out and try to move it or pick it up or do anything with it, it's going to attack you. They're very aggressive. We not only have the roosters tame, they're actually much more gentle with the females.
Huh.
In fact, we had one that we gave away. It was my daughter's favorite because it would go up by a female and it would sit there and bow its head a couple of times before it hopped on. It was really kind of cute.
Hey, Mike, thank you for the call.
What do you mean by hopped on?
All right.
Okay.
See, I think I want to be around chickens from time to time. I don't know that I want to dive all the way into it.
Well, I thought you said earlier that you were ready to move to the country.
Yeah.
And buy chickens.
I want to be chicken adjacent.
Just go hang out by a KFC.
Well done.
15 minutes for you to flip on your lifelong dream there.
Wait, you
dreams are evolving.
You were ready to move to Eudora like 15 minutes ago.
Belton. It was very peaceful. It was very peaceful. He started talking aggressive roosters, and I'm like, I'm out.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Quentin Morris, Dana Wright, Dan Weinbaum. My name's Scott here on KMBZ. Welcome back. Good to be with you on a gorgeous Monday afternoon here in Kansas City. Chiefs were off over the weekend, so it was just about everybody else. K-State won.
Yeah.
I believe, did Mizzou win? Q, did Mizzou win over the weekend? I can't remember.
I don't know if Mizzou won or not. K, you had a bye week, correct?
Correct.
My mom posted at one point.
Which means they didn't lose.
My mom posted, go Jayhawks, and someone wrote, aren't they in a bye week? I think she was watching a rerun, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So it runs in the family.
I didn't ask. I just, yeah. I would be remiss if we did not mention that Lilly Ledbetter, who sued Goodyear for gender discrimination, an equal pay activist who really changed things and moved the needle for women everywhere, has died at the age of 86. And if you do not know her story, man, look her up. It was in the 1990s. She'd worked for Goodyear 19 years when she learned she had been making thousands of dollars less each month than the other male managers who did her exact same job.
Sued in 1999.
She sued in 99, won in federal court. It dragged on through the courts. Sometimes you win the war and lose the battle, or win the battle and lose the war. The case eventually made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court. And on a technicality, they basically said the way she filed, you know, she didn't do it in a timely enough manner. The problem with that is, Scott, is that most of these women who would find out, oh, God, I'm making 20 grand less a year or 50 grand less a year, you don't find out within 60 days or 120 days that right. that is the case. Right. So she then went on, kept fighting to change the law. And I believe it was Barack Obama who signed the Lilly Ledbetter Act.
It was the first bill he signed.
It was the first bill he signed. Mm-hmm. And when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, by the way, the photo of him signing that and the pen and all of those things was in RBG's office.
Really?
At the Supreme Court. Yep, Barack Obama signed it, and it basically removed the 180-day, you know, filing mandate so that if you find out much later, you're making a ton less than a man who does your exact same job. The clock starts ticking, I believe, if memory serves, when you find out. It's not, you know, it was a technicality, really.
Well, she was originally awarded roughly $4 million in back pay and damages, but that decision was later overturned when Goodyear appealed. Then it went to the Supreme Court, as you mentioned, which upheld the lower court's ruling in a 5-4 decision. The justices ruled that Ledbetter should have filed suit within 180 days.
Which is an impossible benchmark because she did not know. Mm-hmm. And so it's my recollection that the Lilly Ledbetter Act that President Obama signed into law wipes out that requirement. Because it's an impossible requirement.
Within 180 days.
Yeah. And I think it was updated again to when you find out the clock starts ticking.
Right.
Anyway, Lilly Ledbetter dead at the age of 86. Have your girls read up on her if they're in elementary or middle school, because it really is a fascinating case and changed things for a lot of people. Front page of the Kansas City Star today. They have ranked the worst large cities in America when it comes to chronic homelessness. They looked at all of these benchmarks, and Kansas City has come out the worst.
I find this hard to believe, but go ahead.
The absolute worst. And let me read to you here from the Kansas City Star.
Okay.
The share of Kansas City's chronically homeless population living outside, not in some kind of shelter, is bigger than any other major city in the country, according to the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. This is not bouncing from couch to couch, or which is also considered homeless. This is
living outside.
Unhoused, living outside. Okay. At 95.7%, the Kansas City area has the highest percentage of people experiencing chronic homelessness, living unsheltered, of any major U.S. city, according to that report by HUD. And we have talked about the homeless issue from time to time on this program. Scott, you have said you believe it is an issue with no solution.
With no solution. Homelessness in America, not just in Kansas City, is a problem that has no end, that has no solution. But I find this hard to believe. I'm not denying that there is homelessness in Kansas City. We've seen people pitching tents in Westport, in that big circle drive area in Westport. We've seen people who are begging at the corner of Shawnee Mission Parkway and I-35 at the exit ramp. You're telling me, or you want me to believe, that the homeless problem, and that being people who have nowhere to go at night, is worse in Kansas City than it is in Los Angeles? On Skid Row, it's worse than it is in San Francisco, Seattle. I find it very, very hard to believe. Now, again, not saying that we don't have a problem. We do have a problem. We have a problem that has no solution. And without trying to sound cruel, I think the sooner Americans recognize that homelessness is a problem with no solution, the better off we're all going to be. There is no solution.
Okay, so if there is no solution, how is it that we rank the worst?
I don't think we do.
Because if they've looked at the Bostons and Chicagos and the Minneapolis's LAs. And the LAs, have they just somewhat fixed it better than we have? I mean, I think San Francisco would tell you no. Seattle certainly would tell you no.
Los Angeles with Skid Row would tell you no.
How do we come in worse than Seattle?
Dana, I don't know the answer. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Apparently, the Department of Housing and Urban Development has done a study and has found that the homeless problem in Kansas City is the worst in the nation. Say what? Dale in Lenexa. Dale, good afternoon. Hello.
Yeah, to believe in that report, you have to believe in the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. There's just no way. I've traveled to Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., all these places. There's just no way. I would bet my car that study is cooked and it'll come out. It just can't be true. Have you been to Seattle or San Francisco?
I have not, but we're educated enough about what has gone on there to be dangerous. I've watched the 60 Minutes reports and the other reports about the money that has been spent trying to tackle that issue. I wonder, Dale, if it is the difference between geographically where all of their homeless are in this gigantic tent city right off the highway where you can't miss it, and the geography issue in Kansas City where we are so spread out that you don't necessarily see it in one large encampment the way they do there.
It's a good theory. I don't believe that's... I've been to a lot of other major cities, too, and you see people camped out. Every Chicago, oh, my Lord. But I agree with Scott. The one thing about this homeless issue probably depends on how you define what a homeless person is, but is something without any logical solution, because the more you cater to it, it's kind of like racism. Morgan Freeman said, the more you talk about it, the worse it gets. The more you cater to homelessness, the worse it gets. No question. Look how much money they spend in California catering to it, and the worse the problem gets.
Well, Dale, look what they did in Seattle. And every time we talk about homelessness on this program, Seattle cannot go without standing, because they literally pumped, if I'm not mistaken, billions of dollars into, or at least hundreds of millions, where they were basically giving...
It was the equivalent of $100,000 per man, woman, and homeless child.
Right, correct. $100,000 per homeless person. You could have bought them a house. You could have made sure they were not homeless by just buying them a house. For a married couple that's homeless with one child, we're talking about $300,000. Just buy him a house. Gilbert in Overland Park. Gilbert, hello.
Hi. Well, I didn't hear the previous people's comment because I was talking to your screener, but, you know, you got to go on a per capita basis. And you may have said this, but when you got a lot of people, a large city, and the homeless people kind of get into a small area, it looks like, man, there's a lot of homeless people. But Kansas City is, you know, it's not as big as San Francisco, those places. But the same perception gets skewed like what just happened in Oklahoma. Oklahoma, they said more people, it's more dangerous to live in Oklahoma because you can get killed by a gun more likely there than in New York City. And all the Oklahomans said, oh, no, that's not true. But it was true, and it is true. And you got to, everybody talks about stuff, but they don't take it on a per capita basis. That's my take on it.
So let me look at this. HUD's data included Jackson County on the Missouri side, of course, and Wyandotte on the Kansas side. The statistic doesn't mean that we have more in numbers, because there are 30,000 homeless people in LA, right?
Okay.
It means those who are experiencing chronic homelessness, living outside, are doing so in a much higher share here without shelter than they are in LA.
Per capita.
Yep. Yep.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. According to a new report from HUD, Housing and Urban Development, per capita, Kansas City has the worst homeless problem in America.
Let me give you the other four in the top five. We come in at number one, worst, followed by Los Angeles City and County, followed by Long Beach, California, followed by Raleigh, North Carolina, followed by San Jose, Santa Clara County. So three of the top five are California. And
Long Beach is just south of Los Angeles. Dan in Olathe. Dan, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
We're well, thank you.
Hey, first of all, I want to say I agree with you. There's no solution. The problem with the homeless is you've got to put them somewhere, and everybody wants to help, but no one wants them in their backyard. But I used to live in Northeast Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm from Johnson County. I hadn't been there in probably 3 years up until this last weekend. And driving down Independence Avenue, I was in culture shock all over again. It was, I'd say it's quadrupled. The homeless people that live out there, it's quadrupled since the last time that I've been there. So the thing with Kansas City is there's no large encampments. There are, but they're like out on the river and stuff. They're not in sight. But there's groups of, you know, 10 or 20 of them all over the place.
Well, and we got a text a minute ago from somebody who says, can you explain why you think that there is no solution? My daughter is literally yelling at her radio in the car. And the reason I would make that argument is we've seen everything from, take Lawrence, for example. Lawrence created a homeless encampment on the banks of the Kansas River behind the original Johnny's. That turned out to be a disaster. It just was. Then they came up with the idea, well, we're going to buy a hotel. I believe it was a Motel 8 or Motel 6 or whatever, on 7th Street in Lawrence. That turned out to be a disaster. In Kansas City, where do I start? They bought a hotel in Independence for Kansas City, Missouri. They were going to let these people stay there. These people, I don't mean that derogatorily. The homeless people stay there for 3 months. They trashed the hotel, and they were out within a month.
One of the things that the HUD study mentions in the Kansas City article gets into is something called low barrier shelters. And it says most major U.S. cities have something called a low barrier shelter, meaning you don't have to agree to go to therapy or to go to church
or to
stay off drugs, do anything. It's just come on in. And there was apparently a plan here that the mayor and the city approved of for a low barrier shelter, and they identified a space for it. There's someone quoted in this article saying every one of these players citywide knows we need a low barrier shelter. So they got all the way to the finish line. They were going to put this low barrier shelter up in the Northland. And then you know what happens? Not in my backyard. There's a huge pushback from anyone who lived within, 5 miles of that space. So we don't want this. And then it was back to the drawing board. The problem is that the clock is ticking here, Scott. It is going to get very cold very soon. And then everyone's going to be scrambling to try to figure this out. I do think there's a solution. I think it's such a multifaceted problem with no one answer. It has to include outreach. It has to include shelter and help. And, there's a guy in the article who's quoted as saying, I don't have a mailing address. So even something as simple that you and I take for granted is getting mail. How do you help someone apply for a job without a mailing address? Like, it's just, it goes round and round.
Well, and then, of course, there was the low barrier shelter in Johnson County that was proposed for 95th Street and I-35. It was rejected. And now the county commission is back to square one on that. Because not all, but a lot of the people who live in the area of 95th Street and I-35, they don't want that in their backyard. And you can't blame them. You can't blame them, because every time we've tried the, hey, let's turn a hotel into a homeless shelter, Lawrence, Kansas City, Missouri, it has been met with disaster. And I don't want to be the guy who says, there's no solution, but there is no solution. You can throw money at it, Seattle. It didn't work. You can, I mean, you can't, and I'm not saying that every person who is homeless doesn't want help. That would be a lie. But there are a number of people who are homeless who don't want help. They don't want to get off the drugs or the alcohol. They don't want to get a job. They like the hermit lifestyle that they lead. You can't help those who don't want help. And it's just a sad fact. Quick break for the news. Dan Weinmom has that coming your way in 2 minutes. She is Dana Wright. He is Quentin Morris. Sam returns tomorrow. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.